Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Really, 007.
So, to give it a little bit of context, I sadly tested positive for coronavirus just as I was about to join the Really 007 team on that opening weekend of No Time to Die, so I had to miss out. And that means I obviously didn't see the film, but it also means that I have no idea how it's been received by not just the Really 007 lads, but also by the Bond fans, by film fans, and by all those who've seen it and the critics. I do know that I think it's done well in terms of box office sales, which is really, really pleasing. I'm really, really pleased about. But other than that, I know so little about this film. And I have to say, it's been one of the hardest 10 days, pretty much isolating, obviously because of coronavirus and the knock-on effects of that. But not having seen No Time to Die when a lot of the world has just been so, so hard. Fortunately, though, I've managed to avoid spoilers. I've managed to avoid even discussion about it. So I'm really going in pretty blind. Obviously, I've seen the trailer, but even that I've not seen for months and months and months. So I'm feeling in a really good position where I don't know all that much that's going to happen. But the other problem with that is it leaves it wide open for all my mad theories and all my paranoia as well about what's going to happen with the film. And also subsequently what that means for the franchise. So, as I believe the lads did, they all met in the restaurant beforehand and discussed the film. I'm going to do that very briefly now, talking about it with myself, airing some of my views and predictions so that they're on record. And some of them might sound loopy, some of them might be spot on, we'll have to see. I doubt any of them are spot on. But I'll indulge you with some of the thoughts that I have. I think each of the Craig films so far have kind of been released to the public, and the producers, Broccoli and Wilson, have kind of released each film, watched how it's gone down, and then reacted to that. So they watched Casino Royale, saw what the public like, and gave them Quantum of Solace. Saw that they didn't like Quantum of Solace, so they gave them Skyfall. Saw that they liked Sam Mendes' version of James Bond, but then got the right Spectre. And try to respond to the love for Skyfall, but with more hints of James Bond. And they've just released Bond by Bond, hoping it sits well with fans and filmgoers. I don't think that will be as much the case with this one. I think with this one, they'll be wanting to please everybody. I think they'll be kind of hoping there'll be something for everyone. I think they'll be aiming to give all the people who love Daniel Craig's incarnation of Bond more of that. More of the personal stuff. But I also think that they'll be wanting to give him a final send-off that's a good action adventure that's thrilling for people, especially after the pandemic and people want to go to cinema for a good time. I think they're wanting to advertise it as a real cinema trip. So I'm fortunate enough to see it at the cinema. And I think, yeah, they'll want to give a bit of something for everyone. For me, the outcome of that, I predict that it will please most of the Craig fans. and I think it'll probably please quite a lot of regular filmgoers who are passive James Bond fans. It'll be interesting to see how much of the Bond fan world it pleases. For the purists, the people who love James Bond right from the beginning and who love a good James Bond adventure, I wonder how it'll sit with those fans. I think perhaps one thing on the agenda, certainly for the director, Fukunaga, is to spend some of the film maybe dispelling some of the tropes of James Bond, perhaps some of his outdated attitudes. Obviously he made that quite disappointing comment about Bond being basically a rapist. So I think he'll be wanting to portray Bond in a certain different way. And even though I think it'll want to be a big adventure, I think also at the heart of the story is they tried to give Bond some kind of send-off in Spectre, and frankly it didn't work. The film wasn't very good, and certainly Bond walking away on the bridge wasn't very impactful. So I think, given how much they want us to engage and want to get engrossed with Daniel Craig's Bond, I think they're going to have to think of an even better send-off, one that will maybe make a few jaws drop, or one that will maybe make a few people cry, or something like that, which is probably something I wouldn't have in a Bond film. Obviously, we've seen the final Bond films of all the other actors, and they've not been given a final send-off, but I think they'll be wanting to outdo Spectre. He tried to retire, and that wasn't emotional or dramatic enough, so that's where some of my theories come in, which might be a bit mad, but one of them is that James Bond will die, to try and make it different. And on that note, I've also got concerns that they're going to make suggestions that the name James Bond is a code name, actually. And Daniel Craig has just taken on that code name, and though he'll die, he can pass on the mantle to someone else. Rather like how in The Dark Knight Rises, the message is that Batman can be anyone. Maybe they'll go the full hog and copy The Dark Knight Rises next and say, well, James Bond can be anyone. And linked to that, it might be that we see who Bond's heir is. Maybe he passes that mantle on to someone. Who knows? Might be Lashana Lynch, or it might be a family member. And I don't mean Blofeld. I remember way, way back that the rumours he's got a child. Perhaps he'll introduce his child to M at the end, or something like that. It's not what I would particularly like to see, but it might happen, and it might be done well and might change me. That's one of my theories. Another of my theories, which is, I'm sure it can't be, but I've got a horrible feeling that they might use some of that technology that they use for Samuel Jackson and also for Carrie Fisher in Rogue One, where they digitally enhance the face to make it look like the young selves are in the films. And I'm really worried. You'll probably be laughing at me saying this, those of you who've seen the film, but I'm worried they're going to stick Daniel Craig's face on other James Bond missions. Like, it'll flash back to James Bond versus Goldfinger, and it'll be Daniel Craig versus Goldfinger. It'll flash back to James Bond in Live and Let Die, and it'll flash back to James Bond in Spy Love Me, and James Bond, you know, in Living Daylights and that. And to try and create some kind of impression that Daniel Craig has been the same Bond, but Daniel Craig's Bond films have been just the ones that follow his personal life. And I'm worried they'll try and tie it to the series that way. But, I mean, that would be absolutely ridiculous. Part of the reason that I say that is actually, although I did say I've managed to avoid things, in the build-up to the film, when I thought I was going, the soundtrack had come out, and there was lots of references to callback themes. Hans Zimmer's soundtrack's meant to be amazing, I'm looking forward to that, but reference to old themes being used from old films. And I think that might have inspired this daft theory I've got, because I can't think why they'd be using music from former films, unless it's the James Bond theme or the 007 theme. That's fine, but I don't know. An outside concern is that, based on what they tried to do with Being James Bond when they were trying to kind of polish up Daniel Craig's hit and miss series, I'm worried they're going to try and stick the Honor Majesty's Secret Service soundtrack or parts of it over the top of this to try and convince fans that Daniel Craig has fulfilled that dream of being that emotional Bond. And I do think, even though some of my theories are quite daft and preposterous, I think in order to, in order to try and create something for everyone, they might do something that nods to other films. And that could go probably one of two ways. It could really please Bond fans because they're getting things that make them feel happy from the past. But it's also, there might be things in this film that divide Bond fans. For some, they might choose, I don't know, a piece of music or a reference to something else that's almost sacrilege and blasphemous, using elements from other Bond films. I don't know. I think for that reason, it could be a film that gets a few mixed reviews. Either it's the Bond you want to see, or some things it does are a bit risky. I've no idea. But those are some of the theories I've got. Other than that, though, all I can say is I'm about to go in the cinema and watch it. My time has come. I'm by myself. I'm not with anyone. No outside influences. I'm going in. And just as I said in our preview all those months ago, my underlying attitude to this is that I've been quite worried about the state of the franchise itself, and maybe a little less so since I've heard that it's done well at the box office. But because I'm so worried about the direction that it's going and where it'll go next, if it will even go next, what, you know, what Amazon will do with it, I'm just going to enjoy this. I'm going to go into that cinema, I'm going to grab a box of popcorn, and I'm going to enjoy seeing James Bond 007 at the cinema. A big, hopefully, a big scale action adventure with some Bond music and pre-title sequence, main titles, Bond song, James Bond music, some humour, some action, some set pieces, hopefully a memorable villain. I really hope for a memorable fight with a villain as well at the end. But all those things I'm looking forward to seeing on the big screen. So I'm going to sign off with my predictions and leave that with you, and I'll see what comes true. And then probably afterwards, I'll record my initial thoughts fresh after having seen it. I'm a little bit nervous, I'm a little bit excited, but here goes. Now it is No Time to Die. Dear, dear me. I honestly don't know what to say after seeing that. It's very difficult to wrap up my thoughts talking to myself. It'll be rambling, but I'm not surprised. One big trying to be dramatic, emphatic send-off. I imagine that's what Daniel Craig demanded. He'll do a last film if he can rock the boat and be the one who does James Bond's death. What a intense, strange mess of a film that actually started pretty well, I thought. It seemed like a bit of an individual mission where the baddies were given some time at the start, but then it just got closer and closer, more and more intense, all about Bond, until it's all imploded. That is literally what the Craig franchise has just done. It's just completely imploded. Give me Casino Royale any day. Give me Casino Royale any day. I'm going to stop there because I probably need to cool and calm down, but what a navel-gazing film that wasn't a Bond film, really, was it at all? Tried to be something more, and I really don't think it was. There's just... Dear me, sorry to be negative. I'm hoping that overnight and maybe tomorrow and over the next few days I'll be able to be more positive. There are positive things about it, definitely. But the overarching problem is what's been the overarching problem with the whole Craig tenure, isn't it? And I think it was only destined to end like this. Anyway, I'd better go home. It's late. It's a long night. get back home. Okay.
Hi, this is Anthony Stark. I played Truman Lodge in License to Kill, and you're listening to Really 007.
Right, Jennifer, before you went into the No Time to Die, the film, what are sort of your thoughts on like Daniel Craig as Bond?
Fit. He's very, very good looking, very handsome, very charming. Really, really like him as an actor and as Bond. I always have been a big fan of his. So I was expecting an incredible performance from him. I was expecting an incredible film. Yeah, those were my forethoughts for watching No Time to Die.
We watched a couple of them quite recently, didn't we? We watched Quantum of Solace and Casino Royale. You really liked Casino Royale, didn't you, with Eva Green?
Oh yeah, I love Eva Green, especially in that movie.
Yeah. Is that probably your favourite, before No Time to Die?
My favourite?
Your favourite Daniel Craig?
No, I actually like... I think it's Spectre with Javier Bardem.
Skyfall,
sorry. I knew I was going to get it wrong. I think Skyfall was my favourite, but Casino Royale is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Are you fed up of me talking about Bond and doing Bond, that everything is to do with Bond now?
No, I'm not fed up about it. It is your lifeblood, so, you know, go chase your dream.
I've shown you a few of them, but you probably can't remember all of them yet, but...
Yes.
What have you taken from those films? Like, who is your favourites and what's your favourite, like, type of Bond film, or... What would you have in your ideal Bond film?
It's a bit difficult because Sean Connery for me is the ultimate and original Bond. But I do really, really like Daniel Craig and what he has brought to the franchise. I like the fact that he is not as all the same as the ones that have preceded him. But I don't mean that in the sense of I like him because he's different. I just think what he brings to Bond that is different is something to be admired. I think the character that he's playing, James Bond, is a private individual. I know he's doing a very important job, which is a secret job. You know, he's a secret agent. But I think Daniel Craig, his actual personality as a human being, whilst I don't know him, appears to be very well lended to the role of 007. So for some reason, and as I keep saying, I haven't met him, I just get from him that he really suits and marries the role of 007. And I've always really admired him as an actor. And not just as Bond, in Knives Out and other things.
Yeah.
I think he's incredible. My favourite Bond film so far, I'm not sure which one is my favourite. I always love anything with Judi Dench in, obviously. And I know she's been in some before Daniel Craig, but I don't know. I don't have a favourite at the moment.
That's good. Do you appreciate each of the actors that you've seen?
Yes.
You don't think anyone's, oh, don't like them? Or?
No, I've not seen any, I'm trying to think, Scan. I've not seen any that I don't like. I've seen some deaths that I thought were just a bit, I wasn't keen on them.
Was that License to Kill?
The one where the guy blew up in that.
The pressure chamber.
Oh, that was absolutely hideous. I can't stand things like that. It's just... grim, and I love grim stuff, but that was grim on a different level.
I don't like people imploding
or popping.
I don't like my ears popping on the plane, never mind.
Well, yeah, there you go, imagine what he felt like. Self-combustion. No, there isn't a character that I don't like. Even the baddies. The baddies recently, Christoph Waltz, Javier Bardem, I think they've been incredible. And is it Ronnie Manek? Not Ronnie Malek, he's a
Rami Malek.
He is a barrister.
Is he a barrister?
I think so.
Rami Malek.
He's very good. I like his face. I think he suits being evil.
Yeah, well, definitely, yeah.
He's got that look about him.
Going into No Time to Die, were you thinking it's not just gonna be another Bond film, something big could happen?
Yes, I thought that only because of all the hype about Daniel Craig this finally being his last one. So I thought there has to be some fireworks. But the fireworks that occurred were not expected. Let's just say that. Yeah.
We had the first thing was that Felix died.
Oh, that, poor Felix. Yeah. I know. That was really sad. Oh. And after seeing him in Westworld as well, I didn't like the fact that Felix died. But then sometimes people that you like have to die to make it more real. A bit like in Game of Thrones when Sean Bean died in like the third episode.
It's quite early on, wasn't it? Yeah.
I know, it's ridiculous. But anyway, I didn't like when Felix died at all.
Do you mean you felt bad or...
I just didn't think he needed to die. He had more to offer.
Yeah.
Whether he needed to die, I don't feel I'm able to give that opinion because I am not such a connoisseur as all of you to know his role and whether that was necessary. But I don't know, it kind of felt like, I don't know, I didn't like the fact that he died.
Okay.
It came as a bit of a shock and not a nice one.
No.
But then maybe that's a good thing, so that you're always kept on your toes, you don't know what's coming next. You don't want Bond to ever be predictable, I think.
Do you not? No.
No, I don't think it should be predictable. And to some extent, I know this is a bone of contention for lots of fans, but we feel we know where Bond has always been going because of the previous films and because of the books. And sometimes I think it is important to have variety to the extent that it is unpredictable, because otherwise maybe you're not going to get new people watching, and maybe you'll lose people that currently watch because they'll just think, oh, it's another Bond film. There's going to be some mission. Bond's going to succeed, and ooh, the world will be fantastic. And that's kind of the summary of what a Bond film is about. And there's going to be baddies along the way. Yes, maybe it does need to be mixed up, but whether it needs to be mixed up in the way it was in this film, I'm not sure.
Oh, gosh, we will get to that.
Yeah.
There's all the stuff about Blofeld. What do you think about that? Like, you know, when in the prison, when he died.
Well, first of all, I thought that his... When we saw the clips of him seemingly not with it...
Yeah.
I thought that was deliberately misleading.
Yeah, like,
in my mind, he was obviously acting up. There was no way that he was off on, you know, some other island somewhere in his mind.
Yeah.
That was obviously a trick. And then when we saw... can't remember the locations, but when Bond was at the party with
Cuba, and there was
the eye.
Yeah,
and I thought that was really good. Pretty sick, but really good. It's such a good idea. Like, how gross that he's from Belmarsh. He's like manipulating all these specti.
Very good. Yeah.
In Cuba, I thought that was incredible. I really liked that. So I was happy that he wasn't off his tits in Belmarsh. But yeah, when he came, when there was that meeting with him and Madeline, and Bond was there, and he came like on this sort of motorized old Sparky, would-be old Sparky, I thought that was funny because it was just a bit like silly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Belmarsh is actually like, but I doubt anybody is attached to that. But yes, the way he died, obviously, with the specti drug. I don't know. I didn't see it coming. But actually, no, I did see it coming when Bond touched Madeline. That was obviously for a reason. And she was like, no, I knew that something was going to happen. But it was quite an abrupt death, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And the interaction between Bond and him before he touched him was possibly too emotive for me. We haven't seen, I don't think. I know he was incredibly sad, as was I, when Judi Dench died.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I think we've seen him there'd be so much dialogue around his emotions and around him being inflamed. And it felt a bit like he was slightly more human and less professional.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a problem with, because we are complex beings, human beings, but it seemed unlikely. When I watched it seemed unlikely, that scene when he was just about to put his hand round Blofeld's neck. It seemed not quite right.
No. He got annoyed in License to Kill when, you know, Felix was fed to the sharks and Felix's wife was killed.
Oh yeah.
And it was all about revenge, but and I know, of course, this was the last Daniel Craig film, but Blofeld's always been like an overarching enemy for him to sort of just die halfway through.
Yeah, in such an almost insignificant
way. Yeah, he didn't see it really, did he?
And again, I mean, you know, some people might think that's quite clever, that he was such an overarching baddie, villain, nemesis, and he died in a very quick, effective and unexpected way.
Yeah.
That even Bond wasn't aware of at the time. Because, you know, he put his hand around his neck and he was strangling him, but he wasn't intending to kill him.
Because
he didn't know he had that thing on his hand from
Madeline. That was Safin, the other baddie who'd got...
Exactly. So maybe that is just the really clever way of doing it, but it just felt slightly shortchanged, I think.
Yeah, so the Safin, the villain, he was quite... It was like a horror film, the opening, and it showed him killing Madeline's mum and stuff.
Oh yeah, like dragging his leg in the snow, really like old school baddie, old school horror movies where the baddie, I've always laughed with you about it, where the baddie is like, you know, dragging one arm and one leg, and for some reason, no matter how fast you're going, they always catch you.
And they always get up. Yeah, and you think you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, and the whole saving her.
Yeah.
In reality, he wouldn't have saved her, would he?
I still don't really know why did he save her and then come back to see her 20
years.
Well, you
see, this is potentially the next film, because all that time, as you say, has elapsed between him saving her under the ice.
Oh, we see,
And we've not seen where she went, what he did with her, whether he was involved in her upbringing, whether there was more to their relationship than we see. Do you know what I mean? Because when he came to her office as a psychologist,
yeah, yeah.
She didn't recognize him.
No, she didn't recognize him.
But she... so that might imply that he wasn't in her life as an adult.
Yeah.
But
he didn't seem to have aged, though, did he? But
well,
I don't know whether that's
because
to do
when
with...
we see him approaching her house when she's six or however old, his face looked a lot more veiny and in, and he was obviously injured.
So, I know he had the mask on.
Yeah,
so
he might
tell.
Have had plastic surgery and all sorts. but yeah, no, I just it's there's potential for a story there, and maybe that's the way why it was done that way.
They can always use spin-offs now, can't they? Since Amazon
like
have got it. Yeah, I know.
I'm not keen on spin-offs. The only spin-off that I've enjoyed is The Good Fight.
I was just, I knew you were going to say that.
From The Good Wife. That is the only successful spin-off. And that's because the majority of the characters are still in it, save for a few.
Yeah, yeah. It's more of the same, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, so, yeah.
Exactly. Because didn't they say there was going to be a spin-off on Game of Thrones, but that's never...
No, there is. It's not. It's going to come out soon, I think.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay.
I think it's obviously it's a prequel.
Yeah.
But that's probably going to be all right, isn't it? More of the same. We've been a bit, not upset, but the Honor Manchester Secret Service themes, and we have all the time in the world. What do you think about them?
Being used.
Yeah.
I personally don't have a problem with it, but I remember I'm coming from it as, yes, somebody that's grown up with Bond, but perhaps isn't as emotionally invested in it as you
well,
and your really 007
cohort
are. Get a life. But no, I actually quite liked it because it was, you know, he was saying to Madeline, we have all the time in the world, and yes, I know the song came in the background. I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with it at all. I understand your umbrage with it, but I liked it.
It was just because it was... It's meant to be a different timeline.
No, I know.
Because it's like, you know, reboots.
I know.
And that was for when his wife... Well,
yes.
it wasn't just when she died. It was like falling in love with her. And all.
No, I get that. But if you think about it, that's when his wife, the whole situation with falling in love with his wife and Bond being married. I mean, what an epic thing to happen. And her having that horrendous death. But then Madeline, it would seem, as opposed to Vesper, because there were those issues with Vesper.
Yeah.
You know, Madeline was potentially the next person he would have married. He loved her that much. He was desperate.
So did you buy that? Did you buy that they were...
Yeah. It was slightly different from with Vesper. I think with Vesper it was more obviously overtly passionate. With Madeline, it was slightly more... He was obviously older.
Not
in a creepy way.
No.
But it was a bit more slow burn, I think. With Vesper, I think you always, or I certainly always thought there was something else going on. As in, I didn't...
Oh, because you knew she was going to betray him, so...
Yes, but it was a betrayal of sorts. I don't think, although she had a mission, I don't think she wanted to cause him harm.
No, definitely not, no.
And likewise with Madeline, I don't think she wanted to cause him harm, but just, I think Vesper was more in control of herself and what she was doing.
Yeah.
She's a bit more of a mature character, is what I'm trying to say. And so, going back to your original question with the whole, we have all the time in the world, I actually like it being brought in this film with Madeline because it's a similar scenario. It's somebody that he's fallen in love with. I know she wasn't his wife, but she potentially could have been.
Well, had a child.
And then, exactly, we find out the biggest thing of all. So I think that's quite clever.
Because of the main big thing that happens at the end.
Yeah.
Which we'll get onto. The fact that he had a kid seems to... I mean, that would be bigger than anything without the ending, wouldn't it? That's massive.
Yeah.
Do you like the idea of Bond having a kid? I mean, he's human, isn't
he? So it's not that I don't think that he should have had a kid. It's just that the way it was dropped into this film is just a bit... It just didn't sit right, I don't think. And I know he spent a good 10 seconds looking at her when he was at Madeline's house when he'd returned to Norway. And she was like, she's not yours, she's not yours.
Yeah, why did she say
like,
that?
Her then? Eyes. Because she knew he could see that.
But why do you think she didn't want him to know?
Because he may have chosen not to deal with the mission in the way that he
right.
you know, if you bring emotion into things like that, I remember agents.
It's a very emotional guy.
Supposed to not be emotionless, but when they're on a mission, they're not supposed to think about their family.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely disassociate themselves. So she was probably trying to protect him in that regard.
Very good actress, wasn't she? Girl.
The little girl, brilliant. Yeah, so cute. It makes me wonder whether, in actual fact, it was actually her parents who were around in the scenes that, you know,
oh, yeah,
they've just made it.
Like being picked up by Safin. I mean, how terrified would she have been? I don't know. Yeah. Unless
he
off screen he was being really nice about
it. He will not kill you.
No.
He will not kill you. It is just the joke. And she's like, Doo-doo. Was that the little rabbit? Oh, I've lost Doo-doo. So cute.
Jennifer.
Yeah, I didn't. Just on that point, you know, when he was going out of the. He had to get out of the exploding island and he friggin' found Doo-doo. That really pissed me off. Like, what? You're gonna die now because you spent 20 seconds looking at Doo-doo. I wasn't happy with that at all.
Silly.
I hated it. I hated every second of it. Because in my view, James Bond, Daniel Craig, did not need to die.
No.
Like, you know, he's got experts back in England. Even if he had to just live apart from Madeline and the baby Bond for 2 years while they find an antidote, he could have done that. Did he really need to die? No, he didn't. So I'm very annoyed. Daniel Craig, come back.
Yeah, I mean, if they'd have done it sort of like they didn't show the... Or they just showed the missiles landing.
Yeah.
There could have been that opening. I know Daniel Craig said that's it now. I don't think he will come back, but if he did come back now, it'd be a bit silly, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They had the like drinks at the end for him, didn't they? Yeah. I think Do you think it's that version of Bond is dead? It doesn't mean that the next one will just be like as if that didn't happen. Do you think? Or?
Interesting.
Well, because there will be another Bond who's alive.
I don't know because I can't quite remember how all the others have followed on between different actors. Has it been as if it's not been a, you know, has it been a continuation as in there's not really been a different actor, but there has been a different actor? Or is it a completely new story every time
just,
there's a new actor?
Because they started them when Ian Fleming was still alive.
Yeah.
They didn't do the films in the order of the books. But then, of course, when they filmed Honor Majesty's, it was like, well, hang on, he gets married in this. We're going to have to do that, aren't we?
Yeah.
But then by the next one, it was just back to normal sort of thing.
Right.
And since then, there's been the odd reference to his wife dying.
Okay.
Occasionally.
So the story runs throughout it.
Yeah, yeah. I think Pierce Brosnan didn't really mention it much. And then, but it's because the Daniel Craig ones are, they are a reboot because he's a rookie in Cinderella, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Vesper, that's based on the book.
Yeah.
But then they haven't sort of remade them.
Right, okay.
So it's slightly mixed up.
Yes, because, like as you said, you referred me to the end where they're having a drink. You'd think that at least everybody in that room is going to continue.
Yeah, yeah. It was good, though, like you said. I think you said at the time, it was good that they weren't sort of just, I don't know, a massive mournful session for him.
Yeah.
But it was like, no, he's dead.
No,
we carry on.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, because that would be the reality.
Yeah.
It's like, cheers to him, but, you know, we've got to save the country. We've got to save the world. And I think that's what it would be like in reality.
Yeah.
But I'm not comfortable with him dying. And I don't... I'm, you know, in a way, of course, he's a human being. I'm sure agents out there existing in reality have families, have children. So I don't take an issue with them having a child, but the way it was introduced and the effect or the impact it had upon him such that he felt he needed to die when there seemed to be quite a lot of opportunity for him not to die. It just seemed, that seemed un-Bond. Like, you know, he's so used to, we see him risk-taking throughout all of the Bonds, you know, everything's so last minute. He pulls a trigger or he presses a button at the very last second when you think he's got to die, but he doesn't. How would he not leave an island thinking there must be a way to find an antidote? That troubles me with him because it's like
Bond,
he gave
it?
Up.
Yeah, yeah.
And was he giving up because he felt like he'd come to the end and he needed to do some sort of sacrifice? In which case there was far too much emotion. Or was he giving up because he suddenly becomes weak? In which case that's not Bond. So any way that I look at it, I don't accept the ending. I'm sending it back.
I'm sending it back, and I want
Phoebe Waller-Bridge to rewrite the ending. Anything to do with it.
Because when I first watched it without you the first time,
yeah,
I did think, I think you'll probably buy the emotion, but it's such a big thing to happen, isn't it? Like, it was well done, and like I said, Hans Zimmer's music was lovely. And
oh, it was incredible.
It was harrowing.
It was so
But it's more
good.
The reason why he's doing it. I didn't need to.
Because it wasn't like...
Well, if he had to, I thought it was going to be had to hold that thing, the lever in place.
Yeah.
And if he didn't hold that place...
Yes, exactly. It wasn't the lesser of two evils. I could survive this and go and live somewhere else or continue being Bond, but I'm choosing to die.
I know he was shot and he was looking... But, you know, he'd lost a lot of blood, but then...
what happened in Casino Royale? I mean, he was nearly dead in that.
Yeah, yeah. And then she saved his life.
Yeah, and there's the other one, which I always get wrong when I think it's Pierce Brosnan, but you said it's not, where... Was it where he deliberately lowered his blood pressure or something so that he appeared dead? I think I might be conflating different films, but there's one I'm sure where
I
thought it was Pierce Brosnan, where he's like in ICU, well not ICU, but like somewhere,
and
he lowers his blood pressure until the point where he seems like he's dead.
And then what?
He lives, obviously. I'm convinced it's James Bond, and I'm convinced Pierce Brosnan. I'm convinced Judi Dench is in it. But I think I'm just making it up. A bit like I made up that Lindsay Dent was playing the Line of Duty tune on the piano.
Oh.
I was convinced for that, for years.
In some universe that exists, Jennifer.
It does in my parallel universe. But anyway, I don't think Bond needed to die, and I think he knew he didn't need to die, and I'm disappointed that he's dead.
Just going back to sort of the overall film, it flied by, didn't it? It wasn't boring, was it?
No, it was really, really good. It was 3 hours something, wasn't it? I really enjoyed it. I never felt bored, or it didn't feel like that long. One thing I do really like about Bond movies, actually, is that they can get away with an unusually long introduction, you know, before, like...
That was the longest ever.
Yeah, it was incredible.
By a mile.
I thought it was so good. But no, I love that, and I think it's quite unique, and I like the fact that they have that. No, I enjoyed every part of it. Obviously, the locations are incredible.
Yeah.
They have to be on our list of places.
We do,
What was the first place called?
Matera.
My goodness. Talk about us. That is just...
I know.
So... beautiful.
I expect David, License to Queer, will be going there with his husband.
Well, maybe we can go together.
I'll be up for that.
That would be incredible. That would be absolutely incredible.
He might have been there already, I don't know.
I know. Well, he can take us back with him.
Yeah.
No, that Matera looks just divine. And the other locations as well. Yeah, I know we've got a sunset here in...
It's unbelievable.
In Radcliffe. No, we're not in...
No, we're in Bury.
Birtle. Birtle. Quite the same as Matera, but anyway... You know when they're like burning the secrets and they go...
It's very you.
Yeah, very me. Mine would be like a massive sack full of secrets.
Oh, no.
Burnt off. Yeah, no, I enjoyed the film. It's beautiful. The clothes are beautiful.
Yeah.
Bond is beautiful. The women were beautiful. The action was great. I really loved them. I always forget her name, the girl that's in Knives Out.
Ana de Armas.
Yeah, I think she's so really, really attractive girl. And I really liked her character because... she is technically a Bond girl. She looked remarkably wonderful. And her action was just so good. Like, amazing. Her moves and everything in that beautiful slinky dress. And she just had this very kind of, like, unassuming kind of rookie attitude to it. You know, and I thought that was brilliant. I really enjoyed that.
Some people have said, I wish she was in more, but... No, she was in it for the
what
she was needed.
For what she needed. And of course, if she comes in more, she's great.
If he hadn't died, she could have been in more films, couldn't she?
Yeah.
That's
I just love the way she was like, well, this is me, and then like shut the door. Like she was so kind of...
Oh, yeah, you know.
Doing her job. And even when he went in at the beginning and he thought that, you know, he was doing his usual Bond, like, thinking, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite funny.
I think he was
like,
just joking,
no.
Wasn't he?
No, yeah, I know.
Because this Bond wouldn't do that, would he?
He wouldn't, but I thought it was quite funny because she...
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Was just like, oh, no, just, you know, you need to change sort of thing. I really liked it. But no, I really like her. I admire her as an actress and as the Bond girl. I thought she was great.
Would you like to do some of those action scenes yourself.
I absolutely love to do those action scenes. It'd be so funny. Where am I going to do it? In TK Maxx. But and then obviously the new, or should we call her 007
yeah,
with an asterisk. I thought she was good.
It was annoying because the press had made it out like, oh, the new Bond is a woman. Oh, well, he's retired, so obviously someone would take his place.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's fake news and it's the way they played it.
I know.
But no, I thought she was excellent. I thought she was very, very good. And I liked the fact that she was sassy with him. As in, she was like, you know, I am 007. But of her own accord, because of what was going on and because of the relationship and the history, she herself was like, I want him to have his title back.
I really
admired that.
She respected him when she got to know him.
Exactly. Yeah. I really admired that on a human level because I thought that's what more people, I know this is digressive slightly, but more people need to be like is to, instead of always competing with people, you know, call it where it is and be respectful of people's expertise. And they might be older, they might have done this before you, but it doesn't make them redundant. Sometimes people just know better. And I thought that was a really, really lovely part of the film. I mean, they worked together in harmony and it was all very nice.
Although, you know, someone said maybe, why didn't Bond just leave with his family? And then she's a double agent, why didn't she kill Safin?
Yeah.
Solved it all.
I know, yeah.
Wouldn't have been a very good ending.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah. It would have helped. Yeah.
And I was a bit annoyed that Safin was still on the friggin' island waiting to kill. Like,
yeah, where did he go? I don't know.
What was he doing? I thought he was a good baddie, but I don't know.
I don't know what his plans were.
Yeah. The only thing I like about the ending is the music, because it was incredible. Yeah.
We love Hans Zimmer. So.
And obviously the missiles going off, but it was all very epic. But I didn't want him to die. What on earth is going on? It's so depressing. I was laughing towards the end of the film because it was one of those, if you don't laugh, you'll cry situations. So I chose to laugh. It was like, what are you doing?
I half expected you would cry at the end, but you'd already started laughing by the time.
Yeah, because it was so...
You probably because you'd be like, oh, Tom isn't going to like this. I knew you weren't liking it.
I knew you weren't liking it at all. But it was definitely, I had to laugh because I was just like, this is so depressing. But then again, what I'm thinking is, as much as I do not appreciate that ending, maybe there are loads of people that do. And maybe it's a really clever way to have dealt with it. And it's just that I'm not a fan of it. You know,
We've grown up with it, haven't we? You know, Bond, obviously. You don't even think about it. Of course he's going to survive.
Exactly. It's a given that Bond will live another day, because he always does. It's a given that Bond will be the one person. It's a bit like the Roadrunner on the Coyote.
If you remember, he will always go,
very good. And no matter what the Coyote does with the TNT bombs, with all the amazing plans, he will always end up blowing himself up. And Bond is the Roadrunner. Whoever's done this has changed it so that the Roadrunner hasn't succeeded.
I think it was probably Daniel Craig's idea. I don't know.
Even if it was Daniel Craig's idea, he had a vision. He was given artistic license to do it, and we have to respect that. Just because we don't like it doesn't mean it maybe wasn't the right thing to do. Because remember, everyone can't be pleased. It's a bit like politics.
Not everyone likes Roger Moore's Bond, or not everyone likes Timothy Dalton. But
no, I like all the Bonds.
Yeah, of course.
I just thought Sean Connery was the best.
Yeah.
And I really like Daniel Craig. I've always really championed Daniel Craig. I know that to begin with, people didn't think he was right because, you know, maybe he was blonde. He was a bit too serious and less charming, but I think he's incredibly charming. I think the charm
in a different
of Daniel
way.
Craig, yes, in a very different way, comes from his kind of offishness.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not as in your face as the rest of the Bonds were. The very, what you would call normal, swarthy men that you can see a mile off at a bar. Daniel Craig was a very unassuming person and not at all predatory, and I really like that about him.
Going back to 007.
Yeah.
I don't know, was it good to see a black woman being a... I don't know, you know, a 00 agent, or were you not bothered about that? Or?
No, definitely. I think it's not that I was secretly championing... Sorry, I can't speak. I've had that much to drink now. Championing.
The only way I could get Jennifer to do this. No, I'm joking.
But I thought she's, I think she's an excellent actress. She did a very, very good job of the role. And of course, I mean, it's the first time that we've seen someone like her in that role. And you know, it wasn't as if it was like, we need to get a black, what, you know, Czech woman Czech in this role.
No, no.
So therefore, we're going to do this. She was, you know, powerful, but she wasn't like, what am I trying to say? She wasn't
a cliche of a black person.
She wasn't
a cliche.
She wasn't fake. No. And she had so much humanity and empathy in the way that she dealt with things. Obviously, to begin with, they were slightly rubbing up against each other because Bond was like, what? My 007 has been taken by somebody else. And obviously to him, it wasn't that it had been taken by a black woman. It was just that
No.
But they had a mutual respect from the offset. And yeah, they had a bit of banter. But I really liked the way their relationship developed.
Yeah.
You know, they had mutual respect up to the end. And I thought that was brilliant. But no, I did think it was great to have a strong black woman who wasn't being stereotyped in the way that black women often are in movies in different genres. I thought that was really, really good. But I don't think it was done to tick a box. I think it just fitted the way that the movie was supposed to be.
It was filmed 2 years ago. You know, it's not like it's been done, because of all George Floyd.
And oh,
all
exactly, this stuff. You know, because loads of stuff has been done because of George Floyd. Yeah. Loads of stuff has been done to try and tick boxes and to make people think that, you know, we're not a racist country. Well, I believe we are a racist country, and I don't accept that we are so much better off than we used to be. And there are a lot of people playing the token game and appointing people because of their race, because they think it makes them suddenly look better. And, you know, I have my own views on that, and I'm not suggesting anyone should share them, but I don't think what was done with Bond with her was that.
No, I mean,
and if it was, I don't think, even though I keep saying I don't know Daniel Craig, but I just get from him, I don't think he would have stood for that.
No. Going into it, you get the usual, oh, this is woke, you know, something like that. And then, thankfully, since it's come out, I've not heard any comments again. You know, I've heard like, oh, she wasn't in it enough, or she was a bit annoying. But I've not heard any, oh, she was just a cliche or something like that.
Well, that's good. That's really good. That's really good. Because with the whole she's annoying or she's not in enough, that's kind of, you know, personal, isn't it? Like, people are going to differ in their opinion.
Yeah, yeah. That, while we're talking about this, actually, we're presuming the next Bond is a man.
Yeah.
I think they've said, the producers, they've said he definitely will be a man. Is there anyone, would you, you know, like, Idris Elba's been talked about before, but was there anyone, in terms of what he looks like, or anything, would you mean, is it just, how would you decide who is going to be Bond?
Well, personally,
I know if it's baby, if everyone says Idris Elba, but might be getting too old now, right? I don't know.
Idris Elba seems to still look pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what he's like in terms of being able to do all those stunts and stuff. I don't have a thing for what he needs to look like. And, you know, I'm all for it being a really good-looking, strong black guy, of course, being black myself. But
spoiler alert, because you can't see this. So.
You can't see me, but I'm very dark-skinned and I have an afro, and I love it. So, Idris Elba, he's incredible, obviously. I'm not quite keen on the whole Bridgerton.
Well, you've seen Bridgerton, I've not seen it.
I think he still looks a little bit young and fresh to be Bond, to be honest with you.
I've heard a lot of, some people say,
he's like Bond preschool.
I want to be surprised, I want it to be someone I don't really know about. Well, I don't want it to be someone who's been mooted in the press.
No, I can understand that, but I think Regé Jean is not right for Bond, not yet.
No.
I do like the whole unknown person, because I think it helps. If he's going to do like 4 or 5 films, I think it might actually be quite good if he's not already like Henry Cavill or something.
Yeah, I mean, and I would like him, but I agree.
is the
he's
problem
already gone,
he's
got loads
Superman.
Of parts and,
you know, it's, I'm not sure you should be
you know, like Hugh Jackman might be good X. But he's Wolverine, it's difficult.
Well, Hugh Jackman, yeah,
still looks good for his age, doesn't he? I mean, is
that, Hugh Jackman does, but I would have, this sounds awful, I wouldn't have wanted him to, well, he couldn't have had an Australian accent, could he, because he's
No.
He would have had to have been...
No, British. He can do it.
No, he could have done the accent. No, Hugh Jackman could have been very good, actually, thinking about it.
But he would have done it instead of Daniel Craig rather than...
Oh, I see. But he still looks very, very good. But I'm not really sure. I haven't seen much to know who I would think of as an unknown. Oh, I mentioned to you the other day the guy that was in Grantchester and Happy Valley that you've not seen. But you said he looks a bit too evil.
I forgot his name. James Norton, I think he's called.
I think he could be a good Bond. Possibly does he could be a good baddie, but I think he could be a good Bond.
Yeah,
he's got an edge to him.
But is that what for the next Bond? Is that what you want, or do you want something a bit different? Or you don't want to copy Daniel Craig, do you? There's no point.
No, I'm not suggesting he needs to copy Daniel Craig, but I obviously don't want someone that's just like so un-Bond it's just because it's like popular.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is I don't want people to try so hard to satisfy a load of other people who have a lot of power that they make it so unlikely. And I don't mean that at all in an offensive way. I just mean Bond is supposed to be, in my mind, the person that Bond is needs to be a strong man. I do think he needs to be a man, my personal opinion. He needs to be a male. He needs to be private. He needs
to... Do you mean the actor or the character?
Probably.
As in he's not as emotional, or do you...
Yeah, as in he needs to have the ability to empathise, but also the ability to shut that down if he needs to. In a way that
the
like,
of no time
to... somebody that works with a secret service needs to be able to do.
Yeah.
The people that dropped in on Osama bin Laden couldn't be people that were crying all the time. They need to be able to disassociate themselves from their emotions, but in a way that they can also re-trigger them. So, a complex individual and somebody that is not easy to anger, not easy to rouse, but I don't watch enough to be aware of enough kind of unknown people to tell you who would be a good person.
You just like look forward to seeing somebody and then look forward to seeing how they play it, don't you?
Yes, exactly. But I just hope that when they do have the next Bond, I sincerely hope he's not trendy, in inverted commas. He can't be trendy. He just has to be an unassuming, suave, charmed, really good-looking man. And we have to be confident that he will protect us. And when I say he will protect us, that's not to say that I don't think women can protect us. Because I am, you know, I'm all for women being strong. I'm a strong woman. I am a feminist of sorts, but I'm not a feminist that wants us to supersede men. I'm a feminist that wants men and women to be equal. That's the point as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So, but I personally think Bond should be a man.
Yeah, superb. So, just to conclude, Jennifer, was the film, how did you feel immediately after? Were you like on a downer, or were you like, oh, I enjoyed it, but...
It was a cacophony of feelings.
Good word.
I loved the film. I loved everything about it.
Well, you didn't love everything about it.
Well, I mean, let me get there.
Yeah.
Apart from Bond dying, I do not think he needed to die. I did not like the fact that he died. I don't like how he died. I don't like why he died. It was just... And it wasn't even that it was like ripping the plaster off. It was just... It didn't need to happen. I'm not sure why it did, but... Me not being sure why it did might just be because I haven't got the vision of the creators. They, in their next Bond film, might explain why this needed to happen. And let's await that with bated breath. But I didn't like it at all. I didn't like the ending. The music was incredible. The scenery was incredible. Yeah. Daniel Craig looked incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was sad. It was awful. But I don't think he should have died at all.
Because he retired in the last one, so they probably thought, we don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
So maybe this is the only way out. But they could, like you said, they could have even just had him going off a nice happy ending with his kid. Yeah. I don't know, you know. It's...
Because it slightly worries me about the future of Bond now.
Yeah,
Bond going to be a bit more like, what's that thing I used to watch? It was based in America, and there was kind of like the mixture of families. But I stopped watching it. Can you remember? It had that really gorgeous...
Tom Selly?
No.
Not the...
You know, there were like... There was an old... There was the dad of the... So there's a husband and wife, and the wife's dad had a wife who... Her real name is Sophia something.
Oh, she's... Modern Family.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't want Bond to become... To think that it needs to...
No.
Catch up, in inverted commas, I'm doing the inverted commas sign with my fingers, with the times.
It's not so popular.
Exactly. It doesn't need to develop in a way that people think life should develop. That doesn't need to happen. Bond is not that. And I'm worried slightly with this ending that Bond is going to become something that it was never in... It's not even that it was never intended to be. It's just that... Well, basically, what it boils down to, it won't sit right with me if Bond all of a sudden becomes some, I don't know, hay baling, lying in the middle of Dean's Gate, stopping the traffic or the M25. We are not moving.
No, I don't feel
so. Do you know what I mean? I don't want that for Bond. I care about him. I care about the country who he is here to protect.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the future I want for 007. Selfishly.
No. Very good, Jennifer. Thank you very much for your thoughts. And...
No worries. Have me back anytime.
Of course. Really, Douglas.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.